Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. As we're working on achieving our breakthrough, we have to consider one of the most important things for achieving that breakthrough, and that is your mindset. And if you have your mindset, you can truly accomplish anything on the road to your breakthrough. But in addition to the mindset, you need some of the secrets to success. And that is what we are going to focus on in this episode. Today's guest is the co-founder and CEO of Likeable Media, an award-winning content studio that was named Crane's 6th Best Place to Work in NYC. She is the author of Work It, Secrets for Success from the Boldest Women in Business, and the columnist for Inc. and Forbes. The keynote speaker has spoken in conferences around the world and has been featured in the New York Times, ABC World News Tonight, Fox News, and CNBC. Today's guest for episode 200 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Carrie Kirpin. Carrie, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so excited to be here.
Carrie, I'm really looking forward to diving deep into this conversation. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, some of these success secrets, I'm wondering if you could talk more about why you wrote your book, Work It.
Well, I wrote Work It because I felt like when I was reading a lot of the books for women that were out there today, they were all pretty prescriptive with a single philosophy. So you could either learn how to lean in, or you could learn how to be a girl boss, or you could learn how to drop the ball. I mean, there's a lot of specific philosophies. And yet, if you don't identify with the person who is writing the book and don't have a similar background and experience to that person, you may not agree with their specific philosophy because that philosophy only works for them. I wrote Work It to share a diverse group of perspectives from women from very different backgrounds, very different experiences, who made very different choices. And I wanted to show that no matter what choices you make, as long as they're the choices that work for you, you can achieve great success.
Carrie, thank you for sharing with us some of the backstory behind your book. And one of the things that you mentioned in your book, you talk about networking. We have the popular phrase, your network is your net worth. But there are some people who feel very uncomfortable with you. You call them non-networkers. So how can they feel a little more comfortable with networking? And also, if you could share some ways for current networkers to improve the skill.
So when people traditionally think of networking, they think of going to networking events where you are all crowded around one another, forced into this awkward sort of environment where you have to talk to one another. And the natural thing that comes up in networking meetings in those types of instances is really only to talk about business. And in life, there are a lot more ways to network than just going to typical meetings. In fact, finding ways that work for you can often be a lot better. So a good example would be having a podcast like this allows you access to all different kinds of people because you're adding value to them by having a podcast that you can then have them share out and have them use for PR. And yet you're also getting to form a really intimate relationship with them. So what I do is challenge people to think about networking beyond the confines of just the networking event and look for ways that really work well for you, whether it's starting a podcast that helps you get guests that you want to network with, whether it is sitting outside of the main part of the conference and hanging out in the hall area during sessions so that you can have a less crowded and less intimidating way to speak to fewer amounts of people. Sometimes that can be way more effective. There are lots and lots of tips in the book about how to network, making sure you don't have lunch at your desk, really going out and eating and getting coffee with people and the benefit of a meal. The list goes on. So just really look at what networking feels comfortable for you and do that. And then every once in a while, allow yourself to push yourself out of a comfort zone.
And I really like that idea, like networking, like you do have to get out of the comfort zone to do networking, especially for non-networkers. And I feel like part of that is some people associate the elevator pitch, telling people what they do, as bragging, like bragging about their accomplishments. Like that's just a natural part of the elevator pitch, just tell people what to do. But I feel like some people see it as bragging. So how can we get more comfortable with bragging? I know this is a topic you also cover in your book.
Yeah, so I think that for women in particular, we have a really hard time talking about our accomplishments because we find the people who talk about their accomplishments nonstop pretty cheesy, right? So it's like, oh, look at these people. They're so busy talking about it and not actually doing it. Women historically, and if you look at the data, they're really much more focused on building their competence versus building their confidence. And yet their confidence is such an important skill. And one of the big key elements of confidence is learning how to talk about yourself. So one of the best things to do is really practice. You know, figure out a way that you can say, okay, here's what I did recently that was really great. Test it out a few times and then wait until you come up with a narrative that's comfortable for you. You know, what's something that really enables you to feel good about your accomplishments and also give yourself the humility that you're looking for. And so an example would be for me, you know, I often talk about when I talk about a podcast that has the types of downloads that it has and the number of guests and the types of guests that it has, I always start by, I wanted to help give women a broader voice. And so I started this podcast. It did really well, got a few million downloads and started getting really some traction and interviewed interesting guests like Sheryl Sandberg and Barbara Corcoran and, you know, these types of people. So figuring out a way to say things that are great about you, but also giving it context as to how it came to be.
And I really like giving the context. So it's not just like you're saying the downloads, you're saying all the accomplishments, you're saying why you started it. And once people get the idea of why you started it, they feel it's more impressive, more inspired. People are more engaged when you give them those types of numbers after you give them the idea of why you started it. And I really like how you talked about the confidence. And another thing in your book you do is you talk about the cracking the confidence code. And I'm wondering if you could give us some ideas on how we can do that for ourselves.
Sure. I think one of the ways to crack the confidence code is to establish a good network of people around you who you can talk to about some of your accomplishments and challenges and having them give you feedback and allowing that feedback to be heard, the positive feedback as well as feedback to help you make yourself better. Really looking at especially having a group of what I call as a board of advisors, an informal board of advisors for yourself that allows you to get the support that you need. You know, sometimes it's not just recognizing it within yourself. It's getting external validation around some great things you've done. For instance, when I've done something that I'm proud of, I send it to a group of women in a networking group that I'm in. I send it out. It's a private group. And I know that I'm going to get a great response that helps lift me up. The other thing that I would say is to look at things like, if you look at Mel Robbins, for instance, who's the author of the 5-second rule, sometimes, and she talks about, you know, you count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you just do it, right? A lot of times looking at confidence is just saying, you know what? I feel afraid right now. I don't feel confident, but I'm going to do it anyway. So pushing yourself forward when you don't feel confident is also a surefire way to succeed. Another tip is also one that I learned while playing tennis. A lot of times I'm a really bad tennis player, really bad. And my husband is great. And so when I play against him, whenever, right before I hit the ball, I always say to myself, I'm going to smash this ball. I'm going to do great. And when I say that to myself, I always do better than when I don't. So if I think like, oh, I'm going to miss this. Oh, I'm so nervous. Oh my God. You know, that type of reaction, I don't do as well. So some of it is just acting as if too.
And I really, I like your example with the tennis because you have the mindset in play where if you think positive happens, you get the better results. So
correct.
What we think.
Correct.
Yeah, so that definitely has a really big impact on success and anything that you aspire to achieve, and especially with the finance goals that we set. And one of the things you also mentioned, you talk about the discipline around money being key in business and in life. And I wonder if you could share with us how you stay disciplined with your finances.
With my own finances? Well, I think that there are two different things, right? There's finances as a person and there's finances as an entrepreneur. As an entrepreneur is the leader of a company, it's your role to make sure that you have enough money in the bank to support your growing business. And that was something that I learned very early in my career when we were growing quickly and learning out how to figure out cash flow. But I think as a person, the biggest money tip that I have and staying disciplined is when you automatically take money out of your account. So if you automatically contribute to a 401k, if you automatically put money in a savings account that's not easily accessible, if you learn to live on a salary that feels like less, you will live on that salary and the rest will all go to savings. I cannot state enough about the importance of saving while, early in your career, even though it feels really hard, when you learn how to live with less, you will end up with far more.
Yeah, really, that's the frugal lifestyle in a sense, where it's not like you're like cheap or anything like that. It's like you are smartly using your money, trying to be very resourceful with what you have. And that whole idea of saving, I really do like that as well. That is something that I make a point to do with the revenue that I generate for my business. And speaking of businesses, there are a lot of people who they're business owners. They're not exactly getting the results that they want. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential with their businesses?
I think ultimately you need to have an idea and a plan to execute that idea. And then you need to have a level of passion for what you're doing, yet also the ability to realize that not every idea is great. You have to be adaptable. Sometimes the business you end up with is not exactly the business you started out with. And I think looking at and being able to navigate through that is possible. I think what usually holds people back is either sort of a myopic viewpoint, like this is my idea and I'm sticking with it and I'm not doing anything else that anyone else says, and ignoring everything. I think that can be a recipe for failure. And then I think being too wishy-washy and saying, okay, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think can be a recipe for failure? It's really finding that spot in the middle where you have passion, you have strength, you know where you want to go, but you're also willing to take feedback and let the business evolve. And I think that's the key.
And that's something that, like, I mean, you hit a really big topic where some people, they grow their businesses, they don't like to hear feedback. And it's just part of growing is there are people who know things that you don't. There are people who can offer you suggestions that will take you to the next level. Just being able to listen to the suggestions, the feedback, the recommendations, and truly taking action on that will make a really big difference on a business. And some of those suggestions can get you out of a challenge that you face is natural, like everyone faces challenges. So with that in mind, Carrie, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey with growing Likeable Media and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
So I think the most powerful challenge that happened for me was when I took over as CEO. I had co-founded the company with my husband in 2007. It worked really well because he was a visionary and the CEO, and I was an operator as the COO. And so that worked really well for us. And in 2011, he started to incubate a second company that was a software company. So we were an agency and he wanted to build a software for small businesses because as a visionary, he saw that social media was sort of the great equalizer. for me, this was really exciting because it was a new business venture for my husband, but it was also terrifying because we knew that I would have to step into the role as CEO. When I stepped into the role as CEO, I was really a wreck. And it wasn't because I didn't have the competency to build the business. It was because it was a very different time. In 2007, when we started an agency in social media, there really were no social media agencies. So in 2013, when I took over, it was very different, much more crowded landscape, competitive, very challenging. And the people who I saw really soaring to success were people who were on social media all day, loud thought leaders, really extroverted, and almost all of them were male. And so I felt that I was looking in front of me at the way to success was to establish yourself as an online thought leader, talk about all day yourself, chronicle your journey, how hard you were hustling, how hard you were doing this, that, and the other. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. And so my mistake was thinking that the only way to success was to follow others, when in fact, the way to success was to learn about my own strengths and weaknesses and use them to my advantage. So I ended up really owning the fact that I was more introverted. I ended up starting a podcast interviewing women. It was called All the Social Ladies and Women at Brands, and helped build my own network and therefore double the size of the business. So the lesson that I learned is that following what the person ahead of you is doing won't always work. What really works is understanding yourself and using those strengths and those weaknesses to your advantage.
Carrie, thank you for sharing with us that challenge. And it's interesting how the social media world continues to change. I mean, like you highlighted brilliantly, because like at 2007, 2013, two very different times, but you adapted to the change and you're able to grow Likeable Media into what it is today and have an extra book as well that you're spreading to more people. And with books in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Sure. One of my favorite books is by Nilofer Merchant, and it's called Onlyness. And it talks about how you as a person have your own qualities that make only you are that person, and only you can give off that that light into the world, and how to use that to your advantage, much like I was talking about with my All the Social Lady story, but much, much deeper. It gets into the science of it and really learning who you are and how to use that to your advantage. Another book that I really loved was Give and Take by Adam Grant. I love anything by Adam Grant, but Give and Take I thought was really great because it talks about the people in the world who are givers and the people in the world who are takers and how that relationship works. And I loved that philosophy both as a marketer, as a business person, and just really anything he writes is really fantastic. And my latest one that I'm excited about is Randy Zuckerberg's book called Pick Three, which talks about how to prioritize, especially she had tweeted something a few years ago. It was like, pick the entrepreneur's dilemma, pick three: fitness, sleep, family, work, and friends. So out of the five, you can only get three done in a day, is her theory. And all about how you can be deliciously lopsided. You don't have to be able to do it all. You can do it all, but just not at the same time, in other words. So you can really be focused on one area at a time, and that's okay. And giving women permission to do that, and men really, but giving them permission to do that is a game changer, I think.
Carrie, thank you for sharing those book recommendations. Those will be in the show notes, markaberry.com/E200. If you guys are interested in a book that will help you create, promote, and optimize your content growth and revenue, you can grab your copy of Content Marketing Secrets over at markgaberty.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Carrie, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think the number one question we need to be asking ourselves, we should ask again and again and again, which is the question of why. When you are doing something, ask yourself why. When you have the answer to that, ask yourself why that answer is. In other words, keep digging down. So I'm doing this podcast because X. Okay. Why is X? Okay. Tell me why. Keep asking yourself why to get to the truest answers of what you're doing and how it impacts you and what it's filling within you. I think when you take the time to stop and ask yourself why, not just the first why, but keep going down every answer, ask yourself why again, you will get to the root of how you're feeling and what you actually want to do.
Carrie, thank you for sharing that great question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. And if you want to learn more about Carrie Kirpin, you can get her book, Work It, Secrets for Success from the Boldest Women in Business. You can also check out Likeable Media. All of that will be in the show notes. But Carrie, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share your insights with us. And it was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks, Mark. You're awesome.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn